Welcome to the Lightly Salted Podcast. These are the readings and sermons of St. John's Lutheran Church of Park Rapids, Minnesota. They are offered so that the Word of God would shape and strengthen you to be what He calls you to be, salt and light. You can find us at stjohnspr.org. Now, on to the Word.
The Old Testament reading for this Sunday is from Isaiah chapter 66. Rejoice with Jerusalem, and be glad for her, all you who love her. Rejoice with her in joy, all you who mourn over her, that you may nurse and be satisfied from her consoling breast, that you may drink deeply with delight from her glorious abundance. For thus says the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream, and you shall nurse. And you shall be carried on upon her hip and bounced upon her knees as one whom his mother comforts. So I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. You shall see, and your heart shall rejoice. Your bones shall flourish like the grass, and the hand of the Lord shall be known to his servants. And he shall show his indignation against his enemies. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle is from Galatians chapter 6. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in the spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in him alone and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. One who has taught the word must share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap. If we do not give up, so then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. But far be it from me to boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them, and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I invite the congregation to please rise for the Alleluia and verse. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace be to this house.' And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you and remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into the streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it'll be more bearable on the day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For the mighty works done in you have been done in Tyre and Sidon. They would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it'll be more bearable in the judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And for Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You shall be brought down to Hades. The one who hears, you hear me. And the one who rejects you, rejects me. And the one who rejects me, rejects him who sent me. The 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. 3M. When I literally stopped the presses on Thursday and told Ginny and Lori that 3M was the new title of my sermon, and pretty much immediately Ginny responded, Minnesota Mining and Manufacturing Corporation, or company. And while we could spend quite a bit of time extolling the virtues and the vices of one of the largest corporations in Minnesota, that is not the 3M we're going to focus on. Rather, it's the 3M of our gospel reading today, when Jesus sends 72 out on a mission with a radical method and with a clear message. And while we probe some of the details of this 3M, we're always going to be keeping an eye on what it means for us today. There is a lot going on in this scene, but before we dive into it, I want to set the stage just a little bit in order to draw our comparisons today. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus has set his face to go to Jerusalem. Jesus is on the last leg of his mission. He knows what's waiting for him: the condemnation, the charges, and the crucifixion. He has, just before our text, told the disciples that they must take up their cross daily and follow him. And also right before our text, a village of the Samaritans has rejected Jesus because he had his face set toward Jerusalem. But that rejection spurs a flurry of mission activity. Jesus sends the messengers out, not just a few, not even just the 12. He sends out 72 of them, sends them out in pairs to all of the places that he will soon be going. This is an enormous operation, a lot of messengers, a lot of villages. This is not Jesus sort of slinking around from town to town. This is Jesus being very public and getting his followers to understand what their mission will be, to go out and to proclaim a message on his behalf concerning what he has done. For them, it is a mission of preparation for Jesus coming to the town on his way to Jerusalem. For us, it's also a mission of preparation, but not for Jesus coming from town to town, but for coming in his glory a second time. It is a mission for us to go out into all the world, which is an enormous task. But still, and more importantly, it is a mission to go out to the villages, to the local places like our hometowns and the variety of places where God has moved us from time to time. And our mission has the same message, except it's one that has been fulfilled. And we'll get to that in just a moment. As Jesus sends them on the mission, notice his method on how they are to go. The messengers are to go with no purse. That means no money, not even for gas. They go out with no bag, no overnight gear, no traveling supplies. They go out for sure without an extra pair of shoes, but, and what I liked on this graphic on the screen, it could mean that they didn't go out with any sandals at all. Why? I mean, Jesus has just said that he is sending them out like lambs in the midst of wolves. And then he instructs, his instructions make them even more vulnerable than they already would have been. Why? I mean, if Jesus is telling the messengers to go out pretending to be poor, well, this just sounds like yet one more manipulative scheme to fleece the flock. We've seen enough such schemes. Why? Notice that rather than equipping the disciples for holy war against the infidels, Jesus de-equips them. The messengers will arrive in each village with sore feet and no place to stay. They will arrive, find themselves in serious need of hospitality. And notice, Jesus expects that someone will take them in. Someone will feed them. Someone will give them that gift of hospitality. Maybe it'll be the mayor of the town. Maybe it'll be a prominent citizen. Maybe it'll be like the widow who sheltered Elijah, who barely had enough food for herself and her child. The warning that Jesus gives about them going out as lambs in the midst of wolves, them having been emptied of all things that might bring them any sense of security, it has reduced those 72 to simply trusting the one who has sent them. In the end, it all comes down to this. The power of the mission does not lie in what they were bringing to the game. It does not lie in what we are bringing to the game, but rather it relies on the one who sends us, and it relies on the message with which we are sent. I think it's really important for us to just sort of think about this for a moment, because I think many of us don't speak of our faith easily and openly, in part because we don't want to mess things up. We don't want to say things wrong. We don't want to get it wrong. Because we think it depends on us, when it doesn't. The power of the mission resides in the message. Yes, we want to get the message straight, but the message, you'll notice, is actually somewhat simple and straightforward. By bringing so little with them in the material realms, it strongly highlights what they did bring with them. Whenever you enter a house, first say, "Peace to this house." The word of peace is the first word, the opening word, the announcing word. Notice Jesus doesn't tell them to do all sorts of assessments in before making this proclamation. He doesn't ask them to determine whether this particular house follows Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or whether this house has kept the law of God, or whether this house is likely to receive the good news that Jesus brings. No, they are simply to proclaim peace to this house. Offering peace, well, it is a common greeting among Jewish people. But in Jesus and in this mission, peace is the essence of the good news concerning Jesus. Peace, that's exactly what the angels proclaimed the night of his birth, right? And you remember Simeon, who was so willing to depart in peace because he had laid eyes on the promised Messiah? And what was Jesus' first words to his disciples in the resurrection appearance that evening? Peace. Peace is the heart and core of the message we carry into the world and into our own little villages. Through Jesus, we have peace with God. The division, the rebellion, the warfare of our sin has been brought to an end. In Jesus' death and resurrection, there is no fear of God because we know that we have been loved by God thoroughly and completely. Even when the wolves attack, we have peace. Even when we feel totally alone, we have peace. Even when we lose our health, we have peace. Even if all of our earthly goods are gone, we have peace through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And the other part of the message is the kingdom of God has come near to you. You know, remarkably, this proclamation applies to whether a disciple was welcomed in the house and village or whether he was rejected. The kingdom of God is proclaimed to all. It draws near through the message to those who both hear and respond and those who reject. This proclamation of peace, this proclamation of the kingdom drawing near, it doesn't come from our emotions. It is the result of the work of Jesus. We receive this peace every time we hear and remember the good news of our being baptized into Jesus' death and resurrection. We receive this peace every time we hear the wonderful words, "Your sins have been forgiven." We receive this peace every time we receive Christ in Holy Communion. And in all of those activities, through the Word and through the sacraments, the kingdom of God has drawn near. For them, they were to demonstrate the closeness of the kingdom through the miraculous healing of the sick. That's what they were commissioned for. For us, it is a gift that God continues to pour out to us, to our communities, through His Word and through the sacraments. We can reliably root our lives in these two proclamations: peace to this house, and the kingdom of God is drawn near. This is the good news that we have to share. And these two words keep our gaze of God's activity right in front of us. And it's what we want to share with our friends, our neighbors, our family, and our community. But Jesus also acknowledges the message of peace and the kingdom drawing near will not always be accepted. And Jesus does not instruct his disciples to start fighting with people and arguing with people or threatening people. And this is one of those great little things. Do you remember I mentioned that Jesus had just been rejected right before this by a Samaritan village? James and John, the sons of thunder, probably get their nickname from this event. They're like, "Jesus, do you want us to call down lightning from heaven to destroy them?" It's like, no, that's not what this is about. Rather, when the message of peace and the kingdom of God drawing near is rejected, we're called to sort of just shake it off. Yes, shaking the dust off of the shoes is a sign of judgment against those who have rejected the messages. But I like how one commentator put it. In the shaking off the dust of their feet, these disciples are not to be weighed down by the rejection. They're not to be paralyzed by trying to figure out what they did wrong or what they could have done differently to produce a different outcome. Instead, Jesus invites them to move forward in the confidence of these two proclamations: peace to this house, and the kingdom of God has drawn near. Jesus reminds them as they go out, when they face rejection, it's not the messenger that they've rejected, but rather it's the one who sent them and the one who sent Jesus. One last thing. We have this commendation of Jesus. The disciples are excited. We have no idea how long this lasted. We're not given any textual clues whether this was a couple of weeks or even a couple of months. We don't know how they met back up with Jesus, if he had gone through these villages and sort of everybody congregated at the end. The Bible simply doesn't tell us any of those details. But are the disciples excited? Oh, yeah. Why? Well, even the demons submitted to us. It's pretty heady stuff. But Jesus says, let's keep first things first. The joy of Christian discipleship and evangelism is not the spectacular signs they did and saw. It isn't the number of times the peace remained on a house or a town. It wasn't the large growth of those who were living in the peace of Jesus. The joy of faith in Jesus is simply this: rejoice that your names are written in heaven. 3M. We have a mission as they did. And while ours is global in its nature, as Jesus sends out to all nations, it remains as local as ever with us. The method? The method is to simply trust this is not about you and your abilities. Okay, it just came to mind, so I'm going to share it. Pardon this one. But, you know, it's commonly said with preachers, if God can speak through a donkey like Balaam, yes, he can speak through donkeys like us. And message? The message is one both spoken and lived out. We have peace through Jesus' death and resurrection. A peace that brings the kingdom of God near to every one of us, until, as we sing in our sermon hymn, something along the lines of that time when faith becomes sight. We have peace in Jesus. Amen. And may that peace of God, established in Jesus' death and resurrection and given to you through the Word of God, may it live and abound in you with the peace that goes beyond all understanding. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Lightly Salted. We'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at stjohnspr.org or look for us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube.
Our thanks to Eric Medeish at soundimage.org for Morning Dew.
God's blessings.